listen.
My life.
In every verse, I got rhymes.
What's up, what's up? It's your boy AT and your boy AE coming to you live and direct with another episode of Bars, Rhymes, and Life, where we break down the bars, relate to the rhymes, so we can shed light on our lives.
Just listen.
Feel the beat drop. In the battle for rounds.
Fancy girls on Long Beach Boulevard, flagging down all of these flashy cars.
What's up, it's your boy AT coming to you live and direct with another episode of Bars, Rhymes, and Life. Kendrick Lamar, Keisha's song, Her Pain. How the hell do we get here? You know, I started off 2024 with a mad hype, didn't I? Mad energy that we're going to go get it. And we are. We absolutely are going to go get it. But it's like the first two tracks that I've picked. Hella dark, hella depressing. But maybe, what's that line from Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight? The night is darkest before the dawn. Jeez. So maybe we have to go through a bit of darkness in order to see the brighter dawn. How did we get here? Last week we did Tupac, Brendan's Got a Baby, and Brendan's Got a Baby leads to this track, Keisha's song, Her Pain, because in my mind, and it's only in my mind and it's only my opinion, this is Kendrick's ode to Tupac's Baby, Brendan's Got a Baby, but I also think that this is a continuation of the journey, and that where Brenda was only 12, where Brenda was only 4 years old when she unfortunately lost her parents to a fire, and then at the age of 12, she was horrifically, mortifyingly, horribly raped by her cousin, molested by her cousin, made pregnant by her cousin, and then had the baby on her own, and then threw the baby outside of a window into a trash compactor. That's Brenda's story. And we move on, and I don't know how long it's been since that song got released to Kendrick dropping this track on Section 80, but we move on to Keisha, and Keisha's 17. So it's really weird, because it's almost like I'm going to talk about how we've made no progress, but there's progress. Between 12 and 17, there's a 5 years difference. It's progress, but it's so slow. And to be honest, it's not good enough. It ain't good enough. This world that we live in, for songs like this to exist, this came out in 2012. For songs like this to exist, where Kendrick's probably seeing some of this shit, who absolutely knows that it exists, it's terrible that this still goes on. But it is what it is. And the truth is hard to accept sometimes. And the truth really, really hurts and sometimes cuts deep. But the truth will only set you free. Only the truth will set you free. Nothing else will set you free. If you want to live in an imprisonment, in a fallacy of reality, then stick to the lies. But it's only until you see the truth that you can accept a realer version of you. And almost just be at peace where you are, even though you have to see such dark, dark things, or know that at least dark things exist in this world. I can't wait to get started. Let's go. And Lord knows she's beautiful. Lord knows the usuals, leaving her body sore.
And Lord knows she's beautiful. Lord knows the usuals, leaving her body sore.
Kendrick's probably the best, or one of the best, with visual metaphors and just visualizations. Lord knows she's beautiful. Lord knows the usuals are leaving her body sore. Do you remember in the last track with Brenda's Got a Baby, how I spoke about how Tupac uses the word whatever to nonchalantly express how normal this horrendous, malignant, awful type of behavior is in his world, in that area, in the ghetto? And it's a little bit, it's the same here, where Lord knows the usuals. You know, oh, how's work? Oh, it's just the usual. What you been up to? Oh, just the usuals. But for this girl, for Keisha, the usuals and her work is her selling her body to men and men using her body. After using the body, her body's sore. You know, after a day's work, her body's sore. And when you start to break it down, it makes you feel a little bit sick inside, doesn't it? It makes you feel a little bit sick inside. A 17-year-old girl living in the free world in the most developed country, so-called developed country in the world, in what they call the powerhouse of the world. You know, we all know that USA runs the world. Let's not fuck about here. It's straight up truth. They are the number one superpower in the world. And a 17-year-old, her only option to make it in this particular country, her only option to survive is to sell her body. And in Kendrick's depiction, she's beautiful. She's a beautiful 17-year-old girl. Weirdly enough, maybe if she wasn't beautiful, she wouldn't even be able to make that kind of money. Like, she wouldn't be able to use her body to make money because she's not pretty enough or whatever. But it's just the fact that that is all her only option. It is a pretty dark way to start the track. Absolute facts. She take the little change she make to fix her nail cuticles. Lipstick is suitable to make you fiend for more. She play Mr. Shakur, that's her favorite rapper, bumping Brenda's Got a Baby while a pervert's yelling at her. And she captures features of a woman, but only 17. Then 7 cars start honking.
She take the little change she make to fix her nail cuticles. Lipstick is suitable to make you fiend for more. She play Mr. Shakur, that's her favorite rapper, bumping Brenda's Got a Baby while a pervert yelling at her. And she captured features of a woman, but only 17, the 7 car star honking.
So there's a few things I want to point out here. Number one is, it's crazy how women in that industry know exactly what men like. It's because that's all they do, isn't it? They just interact with men, and they probably interact with men when they're at their most, weirdly enough, they're at their most vulnerable, but they're at their most crazy and most fucked up as well, right? And it's like, she's making whatever she's making. She knows she needs to get her nails done, and she knows she needs her lipstick to look right. It's crazy when you think about what the money that she's getting. She's not putting it into herself or investing it into herself. She's almost just making sure that she's right for the next customer. And you've got other people in this world, you know, other women, other men, if you want to make it fair in that sense, that are maybe really, really intelligent, really, really brainy or geeky, to say the least, but they don't know how to change their appearance, or they don't know how to change their mannerisms and their attitude to make them more attractive to the opposite sex. And it's so interesting because obviously no one would want to be in Keisha's position, but for the sake of, hey, how do I be a little bit like this and a little bit like that? Like, someone just needed to grab Keisha and say, listen, take a couple of days off and go to college. Take whatever you're making, take a couple of days off and go to this free scholarship college that you're getting. And from there, she would have started to understand things. Maybe she would have figured out a route to get herself out of this prostitution lark. But, you know, no one gave her that chance. And you never know, the one person that gave Keisha that chance might have been a friend who Keisha would say, listen, I know how to make you look beautiful. I know how to make you, tell me the guy you want, the man of your dreams, and I will sort you out in order to make yourself desirable for him. And it's just interesting that the two worlds, as much as we shun down and we look down on people that do sex work, they still have gained some knowledge and experience that some of us will never have any true insight into. Now, you get reason why I picked this track. She plays Mr. Shakur bumping Brenda's Got a Baby while a pervert's yelling at her. It's like, bars, rhymes, and life. No one does it better. We linked it to the track before. And as I said, this is a continuation. This is something that we're going to try and follow through the whole way. And I'm never forgetting, there's something that I'm going to release. There's a bonus episode that I'm hopefully going to release this week, which is going to be my ode to Tupac and Thug Life. The Hate U Give Little Infants fucks everybody. And I'm going to try and do the opposite. I'm trying to give love to little infants. Pause. I'm trying to show appreciation to the younger generation in my own individualistic way. And then the final point I wanted to make is, and she captures features of a woman but only 17, then seven cars start honking. So that means that there's seven guys waiting to use her, right? Why the fuck would you want to be number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7? Like, why would you want to be any of those guys, to be honest? But I just don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't know if it's a male thing. I don't know where it comes. But to be number 7 out of 7 guys that have used the same girl, it just ranks me out, man. It makes me feel fucking ill. It genuinely makes me feel ill. I don't get the appeal. And, you know, we're going to go further down the track and you'll realize, trust me, it's anyone. It's rich people, it's poor people, it's this color, that color, it's professional, non-professionals. For some reason, I don't get the appeal. And I guess, I don't really don't have no answer, but I just think you've got to be really deeply, deeply, deeply unhappy and deeply, deeply insecure to need and fiend for something like this. Like, people are going to look down at Keisha and call Keisha a fiend. People are going to look down at Keisha and call Keisha a fiend. You motherfuckers are the fiends, man. You motherfuckers are the fiends. She might be the product, which is, you know, horrible thing to say, but it's the truth. But you motherfuckers are the fiend. Seven cars start honking. Who'd want to be any of those, man? Rank. Cat Williams said it in his podcast with Shay Shay, where he was like, you got all these guys that are like rolling blunts for Snoop and this and that, and they've got huge, huge entourages and they're all blokes. But if a bloke's rolling up your joint for you, he's licking the joint. He's licking it, right, to make it stick. I'm not good with weed, all that stuff. I don't know how it proper works, but I know that you have to lick the paper to get it to stick to each other. So if you're smoking that paper, you're basically smoking man's saliva. That's what Kat was saying. That's what Kat was saying. And Kat's like, I'd rather surround myself with, you know, intelligent, beautiful women, and I'd rather pay a woman to roll up for me than a man. And I was like, he's got a fucking point. He's got a fucking point. Facts. She start running like Flojo. Don't care if they Joe blow. If they got money to blow, a blowjob's a sure go. And sure enough, she don't see a dime of dirty dollars. Just give it all to her daddy, but she don't know her father. That's ironic. She start running like Flojo. Don't care if they Joe blow, if they got money to blow, a blowjob is a sure go. And sure enough, don't see a dime of dirty dollars. Just give it all to her daddy, but she don't know her father. That's ironic. I hope you can track Kendrick's flow in this. His flow in this track and the whole of this album is unbelievable. Look how many times he's used the word blow in different metaphorical meanings, and it's just the rhythm and the cadence is bars. I did not know this, so I learned a lot in this little passage. First off, it was running is slang for having sex with a lot of people. I didn't know that. I think that's American slang, and it might be just specific to the Cali ends as well. Flojo is short for Florence Griffith Joyner, the fastest woman of all time. I don't know if she is still the fastest woman of all time, but you know, that's her, like, that's the nickname is Flojo. So she's running rapid. She's running rapid. If they got money to blow, a blowjob's a sure go. It's like, you know, if they got money, I don't care what they look like, I don't care who they are, I don't care anything. And it's so weird, isn't it? It's so oxymoronic that the guys that are using this young girl for sexual purposes are using it to empower themselves, maybe, or they're using it from a deep place of insecurity. So they're doing it to try and make themselves feel better. And yet, from her point of view, she doesn't give a fuck. They're getting some sort of sensation. Like, I'm a fucking guy or whatever. I don't know, you know, I banged it or whatever. But she doesn't care. She doesn't care what they look like. Their character, their substance mean nothing to her. All she sees them as is a paycheck. That's all she sees them as, is a means to survive. But what makes this even more worse is that all the money she makes does not come back to her. It goes to her pimp daddy. And her pimp daddy, because every person in that kind of world calls their pimp daddy, because he's the one that metaphorically looks after them and acts as their protection and keeps them in like certain accommodations and whatnot. But she doesn't know her father. And look, this is the one thing I wanted to highlight about how incredible Kendrick is as an artist. It's a double entendre, right? She gives it all to her daddy, but she don't know her father. It's a double entendre when he uses the word "that's ironic." He doesn't spell the double entendre out, and he doesn't need you to work it out either. The fact that it's ironic that she doesn't know her father, but she gives money to her daddy. That's bars. Not like the way he's laid that out is different. Straight facts. Rosa Parks is never a factor when she making ends meet. Rosa Parks never a factor when she making ends meet. I ain't gonna say too much on this section or this bar, because I feel like there's a build to a next bar. So we'll come back to it. But I just wanted to highlight the bar because I think it's really important that we highlight why Rosa Parks is who Rosa Parks is. And yet we see the other side, how it's easy to highlight people like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks. It's easy to highlight them. In reality, it's hard to be them. Facts. She's always paranoid, watching the law inside the streets, undercovers the dummies that look like decoys. Remember, Sergeant let her slide, said if he seen what's between her thighs, he'd compromise. To no surprise, she took the ultimatum, round the alleyway and gave him a warm welcome, then felt him right below the navel. Though he was wired up like a pair of jumping cables, his eyes was closed shut. Prior charges, he had waived them. She's always paranoid, watching the law inside the streets, undercovers and dummies that look like decoys. Remember, Sergeant let her slide, said if he seen what's between her thighs, he'd compromise. To no surprise, she took the ultimatum round the alleyway and gave him a warm welcome, then felt him right below the navel. Though he was wired up like a pair of jumping cables, his eyes was closed shut, prior charges, he had waived them. So I checked this straight off Rap Genius. She encounters a cop who says he will overlook the charges of prostitution if she provides him with sexual favors. Quote unquote, his eyes was closed is a double entendre. The cop is overlooking the prostitution charges along with closing his eyes because he's being pleasured by the prostitute. He was wired up like a pair of jumping cables, refers to the sergeant being on the clock and still wearing his radio. And the use of charges in the following line is a double entendre, because electrical charges running through jumping cables and the legal charges that he's beginning to overlook and wave them away. Tell me Kendrick's not different. Tell me Kendrick's not different. Tell me anyone who can put that together, piece that up, and still highlight the narrative of how this girl is getting abused, used, and completely overseen by society as a whole. This guy is meant to enforce the law, but yet even he is too pussy enough to do the right thing. Even he is too pussy enough to do the right thing. And that's why they say, fuck the police. Because unfortunately, and we can say this about the UK police force as well, there might be 20% good cops out there. The other 80% are just fucking shit. absolute shit. Facts. Because Rosa Parks never a factor when she topping off police.
Because Rosa Parks never a factor when she topping off police.
There's a big difference between admiring people and being inspired by people. So you can admire people like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and Rosa Parks. But don't say you find them inspiring if you're not going to act like them, if you're not going to learn from them, and if you're not going to carry yourself in a way that says, hey, I'm consistent with my behavior with the people that I recognize and value the most. To my real ones, I'm a consistent individual. That shit matters to me. That matters to me personally. I know that I'm a very consistent individual when someone's close to me in my circle, and I will always be that type of way. And it's so hard because Keisha might not even know about Rosa Parks. She might even know the name, but she might not know what the story's about. She might know nothing about that. To Keisha's defense, what do you expect her to do? How do you expect me to recognize myself as a strong, independent woman who's not going to just get up off my seat due to the color of my skin and pretend that I'm inferior when she's so desperate, when she's got nothing going for her? She's got nothing going for her whatsoever. She's got no support. She's got no role models. She's got nothing. And it's just not easy. She's trying to make ends meet. So don't put Rosa Parks in front of her in her name. Don't throw that kind of shit at her. You should be acting as that inspiring person and trying to figure out a way to do something about it. Rosa Parks never a factor when she topping off police. The double entendre there is the fact that Rosa Parks was happy. Well, obviously she wasn't happy, but she understood the consequences of being sent to prison for not getting up from her seat. And yet Keisha's not willing to go to prison. Keisha's not willing to stand on the side of what feels right. She knows that the cop geezer asking her for, you know, some little something shouldn't be doing it. But he's like, listen, hey, you know, I won't send you to jail if. But she knows it's wrong. He knows it's wrong. But Rosa Parks is never a factor when you're trying to look after yourself, when you're trying to look after number one. And I think there's too many people out there that are always, you know, looking after number one. Guess what? If you look after number one for too long, guess what you end up as? None. You end up as none. She suddenly realized that she'll never escape the allure of a black man, white man needing satisfaction. At first it became a practice, but now she's numb to it.
She suddenly realized she'll never escape the allure of a black man, white man needing satisfaction. At first it became a practice, but now she's numb to it.
That's the thing, right? That's the thing. It's that moment. And it's such a universal feel. Where it doesn't have to be work. It doesn't have to be work. It could be relationships. It can be family relationships. It can be romantic relationships. It can be your work relationship. Where you realize that I got no choice. I got some boys. I know some boys that I never quite understood why they always looked and had a lot of high regard for me. Because they were like, Abby, I wish I could be like you, bro. I wish I could have gone to union. I wish I could have done my education. These guys are shotters. And I always used to look like almost in envy of them because they were making dirty money. Unbelievable types of money. But I understand it. And I understand it. And, you know, I'm not going to mention any names. But I remember having a conversation with a boy who said, the issue is that running that type of life, so even Keisha running the prostitute life, or the pimp running the pimp life, or the drug dealer running the shotting life, is that any other way of making money just seems too hard. That when you're making $6,000 a month and you only need to do two or three drop-offs a day, is very different to earning $1,000 a month working 44 hours a week. And so you can never escape the allure. It's just too hard. And she realizes that actually there's nowhere out for me. I thought I was going to do this. I thought I was going to do that. And then I thought I was going to find a man, get married, have a kid, and have a happy life. I just needed to use this just little section, this little pocket of my time to get myself over the line. But the usual is leaving the body sore, the mental, the physical, the spiritual tax that it causes is it worth it? And it comes like that with jobs, and it comes like that with relationships, and it comes like that with people, where you go, is it worth it? Is it worth me suffering every day, putting up with this nonsense every day, to just, for what? For what? And it's only until you come to that realization that you can do two things. Now, Keisha can't do anything about it. Keisha can't do anything about it, but you can. You, any of you listeners out there, if you're feeling that type of way, it's the type of way I've been feeling about my job and my career life for the best part of 2 years. Whereas this can't be me. I can't be doing this for the next 15, 20 years of my life. I'm far too talented. I'm far too smart. I'm far too articulate. I've got far too much about me. And sometimes you just go to yourself, shit, is it going to hit me where I can't escape the allure that this is it for me? There's no more progression. There's no more anything. I'm just going to be doing this, working like a robot for the rest of my life. And it becomes a practice. You can practice yourself, and you can discipline yourself to say, yep. But eventually, and only eventually, because as long as you do something for long enough, eventually you become numb to it and you stop feeling. What's a life without feeling, huh? What's a life without feeling? Fuck that. That ain't me. That is not me. And I always have so much love and appreciation for Kendrick, because this is what he does. He brings out the most introspective version of me. That's 100% facts. That's what Kendrick does for me. That's why Kendrick's my goat. Because he makes me think on a level, a deeper level. And he's executed it. He's executed it. He went from Section 80 to his own label, PJ Lang. If you don't know, then you don't know. But if you know, you know. Sometimes she wonders if she can do it like nuns do it, but she's never heard of Catholic religion or sinner's redemption. That sounds foolish.
Sometimes she wonders if she can do it like nuns do it, but she never heard of Catholic religion or sinner's redemption.
Really interesting one here. Really interesting one here. So, don't you find it so interesting that there are people like Keisha who goes, can I stop this? Let me just stop this life and let me go become a nun. And maybe just through all the trauma and the realization that she's just super, super, super messed up in terms of some of her choices, or the fact that she was just never given any real support in her life. But she's never heard of the Catholic religion or sinner's redemption. And the point I'm trying to make is that there's individuals out there, their aura is so beautiful, their nature is so wow, and they make one mistake. Maybe it's a bad one, or maybe it's not even a big of a bad mistake, but to them, it's the worst thing that they've ever done in their life, ever. And they'll never forgive themselves. They'll never forgive themselves for it. They'll make a mistake and they will never forgive themselves for that mistake. And then there's other people who do know of the Catholic religion or sinner's redemption. And weirdly enough, you know, I got to call the Catholic priesthood out, because we all know how many paedophiles that are in that religion. And it's weird, isn't it? It's weird that they are so crooked. They're so disgusting. They done bare weird shit to like little boys, but they use sinner's redemption. They're like, oh, if I confess, it's all good. And then they just go do something wrong again. And they go, hang on, if I confess, it's all good. And those individuals that just genuinely don't give a fuck about no one and just do loads and loads of fucking fucked up shit. But then they go, As long as I go temple, as long as I go mosque, or as long as I go to the cathedral or the church, I know that I'll be forgiven because I just confess my sins and it's done. And it's just so weird because the people that do need this mechanism in their lives probably push that mechanism away. And the people that genuinely don't need that mechanism in life, they need like to be told and need boundaries to be like, look, you can't keep doing things wrong anymore and just keep asking God for forgiveness. Don't work like that, mate. But they'll just carry on doing it. I just find that really, really interesting. Really interesting. And you can blame it on her mother for letting her boyfriend slide candy under her cover. 10 months before she was 10, he moved in. And that's when he touched her.
That sounds foolish. And you can blame it on the mother for letting her boyfriend slide candy under her cover. 10 months before she was 10, he moved in and that's when he touched her.
So now we hit the crescendo or the conclusion, or we start approaching the conclusion of this story. Is that Keisha left home because her mum's boyfriend was abusing her. And weirdly enough, 10 months before she was 10, so she was 9. Fucked. You read things like this, you listen to Brenda's Got a Baby, we listen to Keisha's song Her Pain, and you say to yourself, how far have we come? How far have we come as a society? This stuff is still fucking going on. It's still fucking going on. It's fucked. And even more so, why is her mum like letting that happen? Well, we know why, because probably her mum was a fiend. Letting candy slide under her cover, letting the candy slide. The candy, I think, is a double entendre for him giving her candy, the mum candy, money, drugs, whatever it is, the affliction, but also sliding candy under Keisha's pillow to entice her as a child. And it's just fucked up. It's just a fucked up story that I listened to in 2012. And I think I might have been, I can't work out, but I was 21, 22 at the time. And music like this had a massive impact on me. Just like Brenda's Got a Baby had a massive impact on me. Tupac had a massive impact on me at 16. And songs like this had a massive impact on me because I'm listening to a guy who's got bars, who's got flow, who's got game, who's legit in terms of you never want to fuck with him because him and his crew are legit from the ends. But he cares. He cares about, he sees the world deeper than just the cars, the clothes, the money and the hoes. And it inspired me. I don't admire Kendrick. I'm inspired by Kendrick. I don't admire Tupac. I'm inspired by Tupac. And you're going to sense that. You're going to get a feel of that when I release my bonus episode, hopefully this week. This motherfucker is the fucking reason why Keisha rushed into that block away from Ludus Park. I seen an in El Camino parked, and in her heart she hated there, but in her mind she made it where nothing really matters. Still she hit the back seat, then caught a knife inside the bladder, left for dead, raped in the streets. Keisha's song. My little sister 11, I looked her right in the face. The day I wrote this song, sat her down and pressed play.
This motherfucker is the fucking reason why Keisha rushed into that block away from Ludus Park. I seen her El Camino park, and in her heart she hated there, but in her mind she made it where nothing really mattered. Still she hit the backseat, then caught a knife inside the bladder, left her dead, raped in the street. Keisha song. My little sister 11, I looked her right in the face the day that I wrote this song, sat her down and pressed play.
Woo. What did I say about looking after number one leads you to end up being zero? So Keisha ran. She ran to that game. She ran away from the fucking horrific problems that she was facing at home. She ran away from it. She did the right thing running away. You don't want to be around someone like that. But she ran away in her mind and her heart too from the issues. And she thought, fuck it, I don't give a fuck. Whereas she should have been, no, fuck it. I don't give a fuck about him. I don't give a fuck about my mum. I need to fucking make sure I make something of my life and become someone that is happy and true. But instead, she lived the lie. She lived the lie. And that ended up with her getting stabbed, raped in the back seat of a car. She ended up at zero. But the most rawest and the most rawest thing about this track is that Kendrick wrote this song, wrote this story to try and get his sister to see how he did not want her to fall into a trap of being an underage pregnant girl. Don't get pregnant early. Look after your body. Look after your mind and soul. These things are precious. Look for genuine connection. Don't fall pregnant early. What a caring thing to do. What a raw thing to do. Why would you want to play that to your 11-year-old sister? Well, because you want to make a point. Because you want to scare her. One of the reasons why I don't smoke is that my cousin told me if he ever found out that I smoked or if he ever got a sense that I was going to smoke or something, he was going to break my index finger and middle finger. He goes, I'll snap him so you'll never be able to hold a cigarette. And that was enough. The album, I might have been 9 when he told me that or 10. But that was enough. That was enough to make me go, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get my fingers snapped in half. That was enough. Kendrick's done this, but was it enough? But was it enough? Nothing but love to Kendrick Lamar and all of his fans. Nothing but love to all the BRL listeners out there. One.
Fancy girls on Long Beach Boulevard, flagging down all of these flashy cars. Fancy girls.